Hello, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Mary, and welcome to From the Heart.
Orlando is widely known for its tourist spots and attractions, but many people don't know about its thriving arts community.
We are excited to introduce to you talented and passionate artists who shape our arts community. How do they do it and why? And how can Orlando benefit from an even greater arts presence?
On each episode, we'll meet guests who are influential leaders and artists who are truly making a difference.
From the Heart.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Joshua.
I love if I could beat you into the hello. It's just like a little game for me each week.
Once I got you.
You did that one time, but you caught me off guard. It threw the whole show off because you said hello first. How has your week been?
It was fantastic. It was a lovely week. One of the highlights of this week were Jason and I went out to AMC at Disney Springs and saw a documentary on Floyd Norman, the first African-American illustrator who worked with Walt Disney.
Oh, cool.
Well, not only was it a cool movie, it was history, but Floyd was there. He stood out front just nonchalantly. We all recognized him. And so we all went up, we took pictures, we chatted, and we learned a lot during the film about the company, about Disney. It was really well made. This man is 81 right now.
Wow.
He looks like, from a distance, he looks 40. Up close, he may be 50. He's just so youthful and spry. And there was a talk back after. And
first of all, I hope somebody says that about me when I'm 80. Youthful and spry.
Well,
I love the way you described him.
That's me. Hello. Well, after there was a talk show, I mean, not a talk show, that we're having that, but after there was a talk back and the things he said about life, he said, and he even said this in the film, he said, you know, I forget I'm black. I'm an artist. And I just love doing what I love to do, and I do it well. And he gave great advice about just being really passionate about the things you love in life. I asked what inspired him and how does he find his inspiration. And he said, by constantly learning, by constantly loving what you do and getting better at it, by constantly challenging yourself and being curious in the world. And he said, and then you don't really see age. You just keep doing what you're doing.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah, me
Such
too.
Great advice. Did Jason get to show him his artwork?
No, we did tell him we have a picture with him and Jason and Mark Daniel came and Carol Stein came. It was just a real fun night.
Well, that's because it was your birthday.
Yeah.
You left that part out that, you know, this last week you celebrated another birthday. Happy birthday to Mary.
Thank you. Boy, next year I'll get two lines.
Each year we'll add another line to it. No, we'll let our listeners finish it in their cars, you know, as they're driving.
I thank you, my friend. How was your week?
It was wonderful. Yeah, busy and crazy as always, but I don't know anything different. I did have a fun weekend in the arts because, you know, I still get to dabble in conducting our choir, and usually it's a 300-voice choir. And we did some summer project choir. So we had, you know, the Handel's Messiah classical choir. And then we're about to do Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And that has a huge choir with it. But we also did a summer project with all Sondheim and Gershwin and Cole Porter music. And it was about an 85-voice choir, which is a perfect group to still get the power out of it, but to be musical. And so it was a fun project, but then I got to conduct it all weekend. And it was just a really great musical experience for me. Because in the big mass choir, I'm just hoping to get them all on the same stage and on the same song at the same time, you know, like, but this, I was able to really create music this weekend and it felt great.
Was there a highlight?
Probably Sunday in the Park with George. We had a just amazing arrangement of it, and it was so Sondheim, you know, where a lot of the stuff just doesn't make sense. The accompaniment doesn't make sense, and all of the accidentals, and it was like 8 parts stacked. And so many inharmonics and weird stuff. And the choir just didn't like it when we first started learning it. And I said, it's going to be one of your favorite songs when we do it in the show. And so when we did it, you know, you could see them just beaming with pride because it had turned out so fantastic. So it was a great, great musical weekend for me.
Congratulations.
I got my fill.
Congratulations. You did it.
Yeah. So, you know, Mary, there are so many awesome creative things happening in our community right now. I mean, there always is, but we're getting back into the theater season. We're getting back into the ballet season, the philharmonic season, all those things. I just had lunch with the new executive director of the ballet, and we're going to have the new executive director of the philharmonic on the show in a couple of weeks, and we're talking to the Opera Orlando folks. Just a lot of good stuff happening in our arts world. It's exciting.
And a lot of my friends are really proud of what we're doing. I get calls saying, well, it's so great that you're giving people a platform to plug what they're doing, and it must be fun for you to meet all these new people, and it is.
Yeah.
Some I find out I've probably met before.
Yeah, it's great. You know, a lot of times with radio shows, and we love our radio partners, that you get just a small snippet to really talk about the show or what's coming up. And here, with an hour, we're really able to dive into the story and the mission and the heart of the leaders and the organization. So we're so grateful to Magic 107.7 FM for letting us have this show and really being able to bring to light what's happening in the artistic community.
And that's the whole goal. That is our mission.
Well, you know, I was just having a conversation with Robert Hill, the artistic director of the ballet, and I said, you know, I know we have a soccer team in town. I know we do. It's called Orlando City Soccer, and it has purple. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I know nothing about it. Like, I wouldn't be able to tell you what anybody's doing on the field. And because I'm immersed in the arts world, I know everything about the arts community. But somebody who's not, maybe you listening on your drive home right now, that's the reason why we have this show, is we want you to know all the beautiful and wonderful things that are happening in this community so you can be aware of it and experience it. And that's what I love about the show.
And I think when you take a look into the arts, you view things differently. Just for instance, didn't you go to a soccer game?
Yeah, I did.
You did. And I think
I was lost the whole time, but I had fun.
Mm-hmm. But the fact that you were curious about other things.
Yeah.
Right?
And you enjoyed it. Absolutely. I love it. Well, very cool. So we have a great show lined up for you today. Somebody that's become a dear friend to me and been watching the journey of his theater. And then Adam McCabe, which we're going to talk about in a second, just a really well-respected young performer in town and a creative genius when it comes to graphic design and creativity, when it comes to print publications and blogging and all sorts of fun stuff. So, Mary, why don't you introduce our guest?
All right. Well, we have Paul Castaneda. He's a founding member of GOAT, which is an acronym for Greater Orlando Art Actors Theater.
Correct.
Yes, making sure. Paul is originally from New York City, graduated from Pace University, has a BA in acting, and he started at a young age. Here's what I love. He appeared in 2 seasons of Sesame Street. I certainly want to hear about that.
Paul, yes, I had no idea you hold that out. You don't tell people about that.
You know, I got to keep some mystery.
That's awesome. Great. And we're going to talk to Adam a little bit later, but let's dive right into the Greater Orlando Actors Theater. You know, you guys have put on some fantastic things. And of course, you have Jekyll and Hyde coming up, which we're going to talk all about. But tell us, how did you get started and why did you start a theater?
Well, you know, I got started locally doing theater. I mean, I did theater in New York, but when I first moved to Orlando, I wasn't really doing a lot of theater. And I got involved in theater through Theater Downtown, Frank and Fran Hilgenberg. And I did a few shows there and then stopped again for a while. And a couple of the veterans from Theater Downtown came to me and said, we'd like to start a theater company to kind of do what Theater Downtown does, but maybe more, I don't know, cutting edge or you know, theater that's not done all the time, or maybe new spins on classics. And they talked me into it, and I did it. I joined up with them, and I am the only remaining founding member of that of that kernel group that started it. I'm the lone survivor on the island.
What did you do to them?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask them. But
they all got voted off. And when did you start this?
I think it's been about 8 years ago.
Eight years ago, yeah.
Good. And it's been quite the journey over those 8 years.
Well, I like in your mission statement, you use the word avant-garde, that your theater's goal is to provoke thought and communication through traditional and avant-garde productions. So I looked up avant-garde. It's one of my favorite words. This definition came up: new and unusual or experimental ideas, especially in the arts or the people introducing them. So what was one of the most avant-garde productions?
Well, we
you
did.
Were proud of?
We did a version of Godspell, where at the beginning of it, the Babel song, we actually layered that on top of Marilyn Manson music. And the concept was that it was taking place in a dark nightclub, and that over the course of the show, Jesus was converting these people from where they were to be followers. And another thing that we did with that same production is that the gentleman, Kevin Sigmund, who played our Jesus, we had him outside of the space dressed as a homeless person, begging alms. And so our audience would pass by him, most of them not give anything. And then a few minutes later, during the course of a production, realized that they had walked past Jesus on their way to their night of theater. and provoke thought that way. So that was one that I think, you know, we took a different spin maybe on the standard presentation of it, and I was pretty proud of it.
Well, that definitely fits into your mission, not just of avant-garde, but the other part of the mission is that you want to challenge attitudes, stereotypes, and preconceived notions about theater. So, and Mary and I talk a lot about that on the show, about how art can help break down barriers or preconceived notions about certain topics. And so maybe what's another example of that where you feel like really you were able to break through the wall of some preconceived notions about a contemporary issue?
Well, I mean, when we did years back, we did our own version of A Streetcar Named Desire. And I love Tennessee Williams. I love a lot of the themes that he covers. But one of the things that I haven't seen done too much, I don't know, I don't want to say maybe antiseptic is too strong of a word, but I see some antiseptic presentations of his work. And so when we did Streetcar, it was very raw. It tackled the domestic violence on stage and pretty realistically with fight choreography. It tackled the rape subject very, very much on stage. And we actually had, for every night of the show, we actually had a rape counselor from one of the local groups there, and we donated proceeds from the show towards that cause as well. Because my whole take on theater is I have nothing against the kind of theater that you go, you enjoy yourself, you go home, and then you have a good time with whatever comes next. But the kind of theater that I like to try and do is something that maybe a week, a month, if I'm really lucky, maybe a year later, when you're looking back on it, it still moved you in some way and you still want to talk about it and have thoughts about it. I want to move audiences beyond what happens in the 2 hours that we have together.
That's a great way to put that. You know, and there is a place for Rodgers and Hammerstein, and there is a place for, you know, masterpieces that are respected as a theater piece that, you know, even today, because like Ragtime, we talked a lot about Ragtime and how, you know, that musical is so applicable to what was happening in our community. But I think there is also a great place for theater companies like you who are bringing to light conversations that may normally not happen. That makes it more easy to talk about. Who wants to talk about rape? But when it's in front of your face like that, it kind of breaks down those barriers and allows you to have those conversations in a more safe way.
It gives you permission, and you're doing it with a community of people.
Yeah, so kudos to you, Paul, for doing that. I think that's incredible. So you had a show that I just absolutely loved, and I remember the moments that you and Stephen Halpin were talking about collaborating and thinking of a way to work together in a space. And In the Heights that you did was fantastic and well needed in our community, and giving our Hispanic community really elevation in the theater world of being able to do a piece like that and bring so many talented people together. Talk to us a little bit about that project and how it came to be, and just maybe I know you were thrilled with it. So,
well, thank you, first of all, for the kind words. I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I'm glad it was well received by the community. That show in particular spoke to me. I'm Cuban American. I'm born here, but my parents are from Cuba. And I spent a lot of my childhood in that neighborhood. My best friend actually lived in that neighborhood. I lived a little further down on 133rd and Broadway. So I knew that neighborhood. It was in my blood. And when I first talked about doing the show, the reactions that I got were pretty interesting. People told me I would never be able to get it cast. People told me nobody would come and see it because it was a Latino-based musical that had a limited audience. Well, we had our auditions, and to date, it is still the one show that I've had the most people audition for ever. I think we had something like 150, 175 people came
really?
Out for it. So that was number one. And then we took a huge financial risk because we did it at the largest space that Shakespeare, the Orlando Shakes has, because it was the only one that could hold the show. And, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen. It was on blind faith alone that people would come and support it. And we sold more tickets to that show than any show that I have ever done in here or in New York. We had more audience reaction than any show that I've ever done. We had people that came to the Shakes for the first time ever. They had never been to the building, but they came because of the show, and we were able to educate them. As being good partners with the Orlando Shakes, we educated them that there's other shows that happen there from other community groups and from the Shakes themselves, and that they should come out and see those shows. And, you know, and the critical response was great, too. I mean, we won a couple of awards, Audience Award and Critical World Award from Broadway World. So it was very rewarding. And most importantly, I think it showed people in this town that there is a thriving community of Latino actors and performers, and a thriving audience that's just begging and asking to have something that they can support.
Oh, I love that, Paul. And we're going to pick back up with that same thought and talk more about what you're trying to do, what you're trying to reach. Join us back here on From the Heart on Magic 107.7 FM with my co-host Mary Thompson Hunt and myself, Joshua Vickery, and our guests Adam McCabe and Paul Castaneda with Goat Theater. See you soon.
Welcome back to Magic 107.7. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt, here with my music man of the hour, Joshua Vickery, as my co-host, and we're so excited to bring you here. Today, we're talking all about GOAT. No, not real goats, the Greater Orlando Art Actors Theater. And yes, we have their co-founder, Paul Castaneda.
That's okay.
Is it Castaneda?
It's Castaneda.
Castaneda, mm-hmm. Okay.
Paul, I always Castaneda. Feel like I should say it more cool than that.
But well, it's Castaneda.
Adam got it right. In reality, it's Castaneda, but I take it easy on the gringos.
Yes, yes, take it easy on those gringos. Castaneda.
I feel honored to have been called a gringo by you. Thank you, Castaneda. And also with the leading actor of this next production, Adam McCabe. Adam is playing both Jekyll and Hyde, and I'll tell you a little bit about him. He was born in Long Island, New York. He's been performing in Orlando for 7 years. He's a director, a writer, producer. He's been in Rent, Adida, Rocky Horror Show, and Bat Boy. And also, he started InsideTheMagic.net, which is all about the parks. I love that, about the parks in Central Florida.
Yeah, actually, a guy named Ricky Berganti started InsideTheMagic.net, and he has since moved to different projects and brought me on to kind of take up the mantle. And yeah, it's
okay,
it's a really
great. So you're running
company.
It, but he started it.
Yeah.
All right.
We just almost gave you a whole bunch of credit there, Adam. You were like,
I was
whoa,
like, oh man, oh boy.
I didn't start that.
I'll be honest, that was our integrity test. You passed. So tell us, for anyone listening that doesn't know the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, tell us what the story is.
Okay. Well, it takes place in foggy old London, and it's about a doctor who whose father is having crazy health and mental issues, and he is knee deep in this research that he's been in for like 7 years to try and separate the forces of good from evil inside, because you know, old London science. Eventually, he does separate good from evil. He's not granted a subject for his experiment, and then he decides to try and test it out on himself, and it just turns into a complete horror show from there.
So it's a dual personality.
And yes.
That's why you play both parts?
Yes, yeah. It is. It's a lot of fun. It's part of the spectacle of the show, having
one
person play.
Well, as
you
tell us just a little bit more about what the lessons we learned from the show are, how about if you do that as both Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
Well, this will be fun. Well, you have Dr. Jekyll, who is who's a well-respected, very, very calm, very, you know, but slightly fidgety kind of man, just trying to make ends meet, trying to bring his experiment to life. And then when he gets a little too far down the rabbit hole and he takes his experiment upon himself, he then transforms into Edward Hyde, and he's basically this bloodlusted, crazy, screaming man who's just ready to cut everything. And like,
oh wow! I wish you guys could see Adam's face transform. See, I giggle when I'm uncomfortable. I was totally giggling through that whole thing. That
I was watching
scary,
Paul,
dude.
Paul
that
just
was
smiling
scary.
And trying to hold back laughter. That was great.
That was awesome. Thank good you. Job.
Are you enjoying playing the part?
It is so much fun. It's I've I haven't had this much fun learning a role since Frankenfurter and Rocky Horror. Obviously two completely different roles, but definitely both take somebody out of their comfort zone pretty hard.
And why did you choose to do this show this season?
I did the show about 7-8 years ago. Adam was actually in it in a minor role. He played Proops, and he saved my bacon because we had no one for that role, and the musical director kept trying to cast me in it, and I have a standard rule that I will not be in anything that I'm directing. And someone introduced me to Adam. He walked in. He could sing it. I said, yes, you're in. And then we've been working together ever since. But I have a love for Frank Wildhorn's music and his shows to begin with. And this is my personal favorite of all the ones that he's done. And it just seemed like the right time. I had been circling it in my mind for years since I did it the first time. And we wanted to do something to kick off the Halloween season a little bit early. So we figured, why not open this in September? Get everybody ready for all the stuff that comes in October.
And horror fans are going to have their fix. If you are a fan of just dark, crazy, sexy, bloody horror, it is, despite the fact that we are having it in a church.
Mary, you look so excited.
Well, he's like, you're ready for sexy and then bloody horror. I'm like, wow, I never put those three together, but all right.
They are mutually exclusive in this show.
In alignment with your mission statement about providing thought or avant-garde or changing the way we might view or think about the world, how does this show align with that?
Well, I think, society today, and I guess it's been this way for a while, but it just seems more and more, especially in an election season, that everybody wants to separate everything into good and evil, right and wrong, as if we don't all have elements of both within us, as if we don't all have an inner hide that we have to work to control in order to let our best instincts come out as we live our everyday life. And I think this show speaks to that because this is a good man. This is a man with the best of intentions. This is a man moved to help his father and society. And as a result of that, he loses control. And that which is in all of us comes to the forefront with unfortunate results. So I think from that angle, it gives you something to think about.
That was very articulate, yeah. Paul, just in being able to tell us the purpose behind, we talk a lot about not just doing art for the sake of art, but there really being a purpose behind it. And if you're just tuned in to Magic 107.7 From the Heart with Mary Thompson and myself, Joshua Vickery, we are talking to Adam McCabe and Paul Castaneda about the upcoming production of Jekyll and Hyde, which is just going to be fantastic. But you were just sharing with us about the reasoning behind why you chose the show. So tell us a little bit about what we might feel as an audience in the show. Now, you said it's scary and bloody and horrible, which, I'm sure there's
and
more
sexy.
To it than
they
that.
They said
but,
sexy.
And sexy. I forgot about sexy. But what do you want us to take away as an audience member in this show?
What I want you to take away from this is how do we as a society and individually as human beings, how do we work within the framework that we have to serve society and serve ourselves while understanding that without paying close attention to it, we may do and say things that can ultimately be hurtful even if we're doing it for the right reasons. And if we can get that out of it, then I think we've accomplished something.
The other thing, when Adam was giving the description of we all have good and evil and he wanted to find a way to separate them and get rid of the evil or the bad, that's such a subjective quality. What is, good or evil in one person isn't necessarily good or evil in another.
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes people don't like to talk about this, but sometimes the dark serves you. Mm-hmm. If you can control it and use it when you need to. I mean, we live in a real world where not everything is black and white and good and evil. There are lots of grays. And we have to be able to explore those if we're going to get to solutions as a society.
Yeah, I was joking around a little bit about, London science is either got to be good or evil. But but at the end of the day, the entire show almost mocks the concept of separating good and evil and how absurd that is. And it fully embraces the gray area, which is half the fun of watching it, because, you have songs like Facade, which emphasized the fact that, each man you meet on the street isn't one man, but two. But in reality, it could be three, four, five different men in the same person. You just never know who you meet.
Right. And so, Adam, I know, you and I don't know each other that well. We've been loosely associated, but I know that you take acting serious. I know this is a big thing for you in your life. And how do you get into that character? What are you doing in your daily routine to find your inner Hyde? You know, we all have it, but you're going to have to expose it through this character. How are you doing that?
Not too long ago, I went through a period of time where I was going through a bit of an identity crisis. I had lost my mother. I had kind of gone into a downward spiral in a relationship as a result. I was just trying to figure out where my goodness, you know, where it lived in me. Mm. And it was very interesting getting this role, because I didn't really think about it until I got it. And then I was like, oh man, this is gonna be rough.
This is totally me right
so,
now.
So, but it was cool. So I got to actually separate those things in myself. And it was a lot of standing in front of a mirror and being like, who the heck are you? You know, but being able to finally embrace it and separate it and, you know, Hyde being this, you know, crazy, growly, screamy, murderous rock star while Jekyll is this troubled, misunderstood human being. It's very much a caricature of, you know, of certain things, you know, murderous parts aside. it's very much a caricature of a lot of things that I had going on inside me that I was trying to embrace. So as time went on and as weeks went on, it all just started coming together for me. And, you know, I can't give any less than 200% if I tried.
What do you love about each of the characters you play?
I love that in some small way. And maybe this is a narcissist thing, but like they're all me in some way. I get to, you know, I get to look back and I get to think, okay, so a million other people have played these roles at some point in time. But at what point, you know, like where does the bit of me come through, you know? And I'm a very insecure person and I'm a very, introverted person, despite how big my mouth seems to be. So
is that true? You're introverted.
You're
an introverted person. Okay.
Yeah. I get a lot of my strength from other, you know, well from other people, you
right.
know, just, and things like that. So, but yeah, I like how I can bring out insecurities. Like one of the things that Matt Palm said about when I was Frankenfurter was that I brought out a vulnerability in Frank, which I'm sure we've all seen Rocky Horror. Like it's a huge character, and he can be very one dimensional if played a certain way. So it was nice to hear that I kind of reached in and out, and it actually it actually made a difference.
Mm.
And so that's what I'm going to bring to this role. You know, Jekyll is a very tortured, very hurt man. But so is Hyde. And I don't think people tend to really think about that. And I do want you to have sympathy for him, despite how horrible he is and how horrible his choices are. He's the result of, he's not only, and I take actually some notes, believe it or not, from Charles Manson's testimony, in a lot of the things that he did.
Good research.
Where it's, he's not a product. He doesn't consider himself a product of himself. He considers himself a product of the environment in which he lives and he was born into. And the audience has the privilege, I guess, of seeing a primal creature born on stage and then coming into conflict with himself. You're not coming in the middle of Hyde's story.
Mm.
You're watching him be born and then you are watching him fall. And so I think that's where most of the thrill of the show actually is watching Hyde's rise and fall, and then watching poor Jekyll just become beaten down and tortured as a result. And it's just what makes the show so magical for me.
You're going to be giving such a genuine and authentic performance through this role. You know, not only have you done your research, but you're living the role kind of internally right now in your own life.
He totally gets it, too.
Yeah, he totally gets it. I love
it. Paul, are you directing this?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, and if I could ask you the same question,
sure.
What do you love about both those characters?
Well, I love, from Jekyll, I love, number one, the earnestness of his approach, and the reason why he gets into what he gets into is to solve problems for himself and for society. I love that he is living within a certain culture but is not of that culture. He is trying to change that culture to make it more human. You know, the show talks a lot about the dichotomy, not just of good and evil, but the rich and the poor. And he is with the rich and as part of that society, but he is challenging them on how they live, by the very nature of what he's choosing to do with his experimentation.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that about him. What I love about Hyde is that he is just rawness exposed. He is what happens when you take away all boundaries from a human being and just set it loose on society. And as Adam was alluding to, not only is that bad news for society, but that's bad news for what is let loose, because we do need those boundaries in order to have a life. And Hyde, unfortunately, pays the price for that.
And the reason why I asked both of you this, I know you both have a acting background, and so many acting teachers will say, you know, if you do a story about Hitler or whomever that we consider quote-unquote evil, they don't think they're evil. They don't. They think they're living with a purpose and that they're right. So you have to find something that you love about that character in order to give it its full portrait.
Absolutely. As with life itself, every character is the star of their own show.
Mm-hmm.
And so every character feels their motivations are straight on. And if you get caught up in playing, I'm going to play this guy as evil, then that's when you get a one-note, one-dimensional characterization.
So before we go, tell us quickly, how do we get tickets to see Jekyll and Hyde?
That is a great question. the way that you get tickets to see Jekyll and Hyde is to go to goatgroup.tix.com, and you can buy your tickets there. And we will be doing the show from September 9th to the 25th at the CFC Arts Theater Stage, which is located at the Central Christian Church on Ivanhoe in College Park. And we hope to see you all there. And I just want to say, because I don't want people to think it's all dark and all that kind of stuff, we have a cast of over 20 people, and we have some really light moments and some really wonderful moments and a lot of humor in the show. But we do tackle some pretty strong subject matter.
We love that about theater. It's going to be a great journey. So when we come back, we're going to talk more to Adam and Paul, who I think we could talk to for days, and learn more just about their love of theater and love of acting. So join us back here.
And what the future's like for Goat.
Totally. So join us back here on Magic 107.7 FM from the heart.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Magic 107.7. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt, here co-hosting From the Heart with my co-host Joshua Vickery, who's in key today. We are so excited to be here with the Greater Orlando Actors Theater founder, Paul Custon. Oh, I wanted to say it with the accent.
Castaneda.
Oh, there we go. See,
Paul Castaneda. I'm getting there. And Adam McCabe, who is playing the lead in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Hey, hey.
Coming up very shortly. You open next week, right?
Yes, we do.
Ooh, I'm very excited.
So much can happen in a week of theater prep. You know, like it all just magically comes together.
Or I could age like 10 years.
Yes, that's true too.
Or both.
That is true too.
So one of the things we wanted to ask you about is the future for your theater. What are some of the things you're looking forward to doing?
I'd love to continue. One of the trends that we started when I did, for example, In the Heights along with Baggy Pants, and you know, this is we're able to do this show thanks to the generosity of CFC Arts and being able to work with them on this as well, is I'd like to collaborate with a lot of the wonderful artists and theatrical and performance companies. I've done shows with Eric Yao before for Fringe. He's my choreographer for this show.
Eric Yao's awesome.
We love him.
Yeah, so he's my choreographer for this show, and I'd love to do more with him. And I've reached out to some other theater companies because I think, you know, the more that we can combine our talents and our expressions, the stronger that we'll become as a community.
That's sort of what you said last week, Joshua.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot. I mean, we're stronger together. That's the bottom line. The collaboration is where it's at. And so we're happy to help and hope that you continue to come back and use the theater for sure.
Thank you.
And for people out there listening who say, you know, I want to go see a production, or maybe I want to volunteer, or maybe I want to audition, how do they get in touch and what steps do they take?
Well, the easiest way to get a hold of us, believe it or not, is to like our Facebook page and message us on there, because we're on there constantly. for marketing purposes and getting the word out purposes. So we've been able to collaborate with a lot of people based on that. So that would be the easiest way. And
Adam, it's also worth noting that there is a very strong Facebook presence for the Orlando, you know, theater community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jason had started a friend of mine, Jason, had started the Orlando Theater Network on Facebook, and that's an open group. So if you you request an invite, you know, we'll add you immediately. There are auditions posted there all the time, and it's just a really wonderful community.
And one more time, what is that called?
Orlando, I want to say it, Orlando
Theater Networking Resources.
There it is.
Yeah. And that's Jason Newkirk. Yeah.
OTNR.
Mm-hmm. OTNR, Orlando Theater Network
Mary, are
Resources.
You part of that network?
I am.
You are? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's a good, we've actually never brought that up on the show.
Let's get them.
If you're a local actor, or performer, no, just even people that are listening mm-hmm. and you want to stay connected to auditions or shows that are coming up, that's a great Facebook group to get.
It really
social
is.
Media group
Absolutely.
To get involved in.
And also, you said you stay very current on your GOAT Facebook.
Absolutely.
So they just look up GOAT?
If they type in Greater Orlando Actors Theater into the search engine, it'll take them right to the page.
Great.
And they can message me on there. They can put comments on any of our posts on there, and I'll be on it immediately, almost immediately. And I also want to give another plug for another very similar page, Central Florida Theater in Process, mm-hmm. which is run by John Dadana, who's like a brother to me, and he does a lot of promotional work out of that page for all the different theater companies in town.
Of course he does.
So if you give him your information, he will plug the heck out of it.
And one more time, that name is?
Central Florida Theater in Process, and
Fantastic.
It's a Facebook page.
We love John. We've had John on the show several times. We call him one of the godfathers of theater. So we do.
Yeah, I'm sure he loves.
Yeah.
In his haunted home.
In his haunted home, yeah. Nice. Mary, I just had coffee with him a couple of days ago. You know, they've had some more sightings. It's pretty.
Really?
It's pretty cool, yeah. Oh. We need to have him back on and give us an update.
I keep telling him.
Adam, I heard you were there and we saw some, right?
Weren't you? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, we were, well, I can't really talk about why I was there right now, but we just saw like a door close in his house and
Creepy.
Whatever. He is it's so funny watching him get all of an arms about his ghost.
He's proud of his ghost.
They like turn on old music just to appease the ghost so it doesn't get angry. And I'm like, but it's an old lady ghost. Like it's
all fun and games while the ghosts are nice.
Yeah. That reminds me of a show you guys are doing, Jekyll Hyde. So Mary, I think we want to chat about just acting, right? We got two great performers here in the studio with us today. So I
want to ask, well, for instance, Paul, you studied acting. Were you a method actor? What?
You know, I think I pick and choose. I took a little bit from everyone, I think. I'm not, you know, method to the point of madness, is mm-hmm. I guess the best way I put it. I am more method than not. To me, there's two ways to get into acting. It's either from the outside in or from the inside out. And I'm definitely an inside out kind of actor. Mm. I have to find the parts of me that feed this character mm-hmm. as it is written, because that helps me make it real and three-dimensional for me. I have worked with a lot of actors, good friends of mine, that go from the outside in, where, you know, what does his nose look like? What's the hairstyle? What kind of clothes do I put on? And that'll help me create the character. And I respect that. It just doesn't work for me. It doesn't get me to where I need to go.
How about you? Inside out, outside in?
A little of both, honestly. usually when I method act, I usually go a little too far. Like when I was in a show, Todd Kimbrough's Media, and actually John Dadana had to beat the tar out of me in that show. Basically, I would go out to bars and I would get blackout drunk and just get my ass kicked, actually.
You're serious?
Yeah, I actually, one time I got thrown out and beat up. But I just I just did it because my character was just this artistic, alcoholic, just whatever. And I was just like, you know, let's just go all the way. Let's see what happens. And I like totally immediately regretted the choice. So ever since then, it's been, you know, standing in front of mirrors and finding myself.
That's a lot.
That's a little more safer research there.
Yeah.
This girl I work with when she was in college, her senior year, she was stage managing a production of 12 Days Journey Into Night, Eugene O'Neill, where everyone drinks. If they're not going crazy. And so the man who was playing the lead wanted to know what it was like to drink for 12 hours. And he did that and then went to their dress rehearsal where he passed out. Just saying.
Yeah,
bad day.
That story I never forgot.
That would be taking method to madness right there.
Yeah.
Well, if you're just tuned in to Magic 107.7 FM from the heart, Mary Thompson Hunt, my wonderful co-host and I are talking to Adam McCabe and Paul Castaneda about life and acting and Goat Theater and Jekyll and Hyde. Some really great topics to hear.
Sorry, another question I wanted to ask them about an actor as a professional. Who are the actors and what are the qualities they have that make you that you want to have them back? From the audition to the first rehearsal to the way they go through rehearsal, what makes a professional to you?
Well, to me, the first thing is someone who understands that it's a collaborative process. You know, I'm directing a show with more than 20 people in it. And to me, there's no person, even though Adam has the lead in it, there's no person in this show that's more important than any other person. We're all parts of a united production that we're doing together. So someone that's easy to work with understands that that's the case, that we all bring our individual talents. And someone who, doesn't need to be spoon-fed. I like actors that come with their own ideas that I can mold. I don't want to move people across a stage like it's a chessboard, because then I feel like I'm doing the acting for you. I want to see you make strong choices, and then we'll mold those choices.
And tell our listeners what a choice is.
How do you read a line? Why did you move at that moment? Why was that the physicality that you chose to express at that moment in time in the show? And make strong choices. I'd rather that you be strong and wrong than weak and right.
Got it.
Rather you be strong and wrong than weak and right. You should blog about that or something, Paul.
Yeah, it's a good title.
Or blog about that.
Wrong and strong.
That's awesome. So, guys, what are some things that you would give to, aspiring actors that are out there really trying to make this? I know you, from a director's standpoint, what are some attributes and qualities that you would look for? But what are some things, what's just some advice you would give aspiring actors out there? You know, you both have been on the stage and off the stage and creating behind the stage, all those things.
Given that my theater experience really honestly didn't start hard until I went to Orlando. It was kind of a very big learning process because I didn't go to school for it or any of that stuff. And I'm not saying that endearingly. I had a lot to learn. It's just be cordial and be humble. And I say that ironically because there was a large period of time where I was that jerk who maybe you didn't want to work with because I had a big attitude problem. And I think it's just a matter of grounding yourself and realizing that everything is happening for a reason. The director is in charge. Your actors, your fellow actors are doing the best they can, and everybody has life situations and bills they have to pay and family issues. And at the end of the day, they're all doing it because they love it. So at the end of the day, it's just don't be a jerk. It's like really easy to know when you're being a jerk because you can just see the way people look at you, or you can see, or you can just see the way you look at yourself. Like, would my mom want me to say, like, if I said this and my mom was over here, would she like wrap me in the mouth with a wooden spoon, or would she, you know, or would she be okay with it? So the answer is pretty clear when it comes to this.
I love that.
Check your ego at the door.
Yeah, check your ego. Yeah. You said be humble, be cordial, guard yourself or ground yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think I would add to that, be teachable. And at the end of the day, don't be a jerk.
Yeah.
Right? It seems like pretty simple, but that's the actors that get work in town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, us casting directors, we're in their casting seats. We love your talent, but we love these other things more about working with you. I think that's good advice.
And at the end of the day, I think one last thing, and this is actually something I learned having directed a few times. Don't let your personal problems and the things that you're going through in your daily life, don't let them be everybody else's problem. Because I've worked with actors who have gone through a ton of crap, but they still will get on stage in rehearsal. They will center themselves, be that character, find that escape in their craft and push forward. But I've also worked with actors who, they're having a bad day, and the more notes you give them, the more they get inside their head, and then the more they just don't function, and suddenly they're just kind of useless for the day. So I'm a little more strict than Paul when it comes to that.
Well said. I had an acting teacher very early on who said, look, we are probably what we call super sensitive people. We internalize, we emotional. So when things happen in your life, of course, you're feeling it very deeply because that's one of the things you do, and it's a positive and it can be a negative. She says, learn real early on how to channel that energy. And that's why I love being able to go to a rehearsal or go to a performance when I've got a worse day in my life, because I'm here to play. I'm in a play, and I'm going to play.
Yeah, and I mean, it was when I was in Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. My mom actually was in hospice during a small chunk of that, and it was the last few days of her life. And I'm at her bed, and I'm freaking out because we're in tech week, and I had rehearsal, and I didn't know what to do, and I didn't want everybody to hate me or be mad at me. And obviously, they're human, so they understood, and they're, you know, the cast was amazing. But my mom was just like, she was just like, Adam, if you do not go to this rehearsal, I'm going to be so mad at you. And she was all the way in Melbourne. So I got in my car, I went to rehearsal, and then just drove back to hospice that night. It was just like, it was honestly like, and it was that drive that has helped me throughout, you know, I'm like, cause I know she would just want me to like push through everything.
And that's the thing, you know, the best advice that I could give to actors, just jumping off of what Adam just shared, is there'll be a lot of circumstances and things that happen in life and people that come in and out of your life that'll try to steal your dream. But if you know that you're an actor, if you know that the arts is what fuels you, then find a way to keep that fire burning, because there'll be a lot of people trying to extinguish it, circumstances trying to bring you down. But if you know that's what you were meant to do, then by all means, find a way to do it.
Yeah. I love that. Such good advice on the show today.
Yeah.
Not just for actors, but in life. It's life advice, right,
yeah,
Mary?
Yeah.
Cool. So go out and check. Mary and I are both super excited about Jekyll and Hyde. We can't wait to see it. And I hope that you will go out and support it. You can get tickets at goatgroup.tix.com. Is that right, Paul?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Also, if you are not always up and about on the internet, you can call 407-937-1800. That's the CFC Arts number. We'll be happy to make sure you get tickets bought and set aside for you. But go out and see the show. It's going to be really powerful and fantastic.
And when does it open, and how long does it run?
September 7th, right?
September 9th. It opens September 9th, and we run through the 25th.
September 9th through the 25th. So you got almost all of the rest of September to check out Jekyll and Hyde and go see Adam literally transform on stage. So keep up the great work, guys. And if you don't get to see out Jekyll and Hyde, well, that happens on the 9th. But this next week, there are tons of great things happening in our community. The Opera Orlando, who we're having on the show next week, has Opera in the Park at the University Club, as well as the Orlando Story Club is meeting at the Downtown Arts District. Some cool things happen at the Enzion. Let's Hang On at the Winter Park Playhouse. And, of course, lots of other good things.
And I'll be at Night of Joy for those of you who want to come out and have a night of joy.
with Mary. And the Central Florida Ballet is doing a 9/11 tribute on September 11th. So check out OrlandoAtPlay.com for all the happenings in our art community in the next coming week. And Mary, it's always a pleasure. You're going to be out at Night of Joy, right?
I'll be there.
If you want a Night of Joy with Mary, go check it out. Paul and Adam, it was a pleasure. Thank you for joining us,
guys. Thank you so much for having us.
We are so excited about the show. And we'll see you next week on From the Heart, Magic 107.7 FM.